All right, we got Chris Welton on the show, best-selling author, keynote speaker, performance coach, best of all, a great friend of ours, one of our favorite humans in the world, a new father, just an awesome human being. I had the privilege of being interviewed on his podcast as well. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time in.
Man, it's my pleasure, guys. I'm so happy to be on here today. This is it's a beautiful Friday here in the Sunshine State, so I'm going to knock out my stuff, and by 1 p.m. I'm done, and I'm going to head out and enjoy some of the sun.
Let's go, man. Same here. So with that, I want to give our listeners a background of kind of how fast things transpire in life and how God does some amazing work, man. So we had connected, me, you, and Landon, at the event in Vegas. Was that October or November?
October.
October of 2023 at Ben Newman's event. The way that we go about, especially when somebody in our ecosystem is speaking, at the time it was Claudio, our other business partner, we like to rent out the steakhouse and get a private room and then just go find 13 really cool people to bring to a dinner and just have a good experience. Never trying to sell anything, solicit anything, just a really cool shared experience. And Chris was one of those gentlemen. And we had a blast at that dinner. That dinner was awesome. Great time. Actually made some lifelong friendships inside of that room with Amberly, Brian Covey, all those amazing people. And then with that, find myself in Dallas a week later at Rene Rodriguez's event. And if anyone hasn't heard of Rene Rodriguez, stop living under a rock and go learn about him, because he's the best of the best when it comes to this stuff. Chris and I connected even further there. And then we've just started to build a really good friendship and a referral partnership. And he's just someone that I just love to talk to all the time, because he's constantly looking to serve. And he's an awesome man of faith. So happy to see you lean into your fatherhood as well. Just wanted to give some background on that, of how quickly things transpire. It's May of 2024. And this relationship is rolling, man. And we're getting some great momentum. What's going on in your world, though? Give us a little bit of the background of your story. Enough about us, but I want to hear a little bit more about the Chris Welton story.
Well, I think the first thing is that, I'm a son of a drug addict, right? So my mom was a heroin addict, and I was born missing my left arm because she did heroin while she was pregnant with me. I'm a survivor of infant loss. We lost our son CJ in 2020. And I'm just a guy that has figured out a way to turn adversity into strength over time. And at 51 years of age, I feel like I'm just getting some momentum now. Like finally getting some momentum in that space. So I left my partnership, a really good corporate job, back in August of last year to go all in on my coaching and speaking business. And then I wrote a book as well. And every day it seems like things are changing a little bit. Like if you looked at what my goals were at the beginning of the year, they're not the same, because things are evolving, right? Now I'm understanding, okay, maybe that shouldn't have been a goal. Maybe that shouldn't have been what I needed to do. And things are coming at me in different directions. And my best currency so far has been relationship building. I've built, as we'll talk about the book, from the way my introductions from the book came and all the relationships that have come because of the relationships that started in the book. So that's something we definitely want to cover, that just to be able to give people an idea on why I wrote the book, to help people do the same thing. Look, at 51 years old, when you leave a job that's cushy and you kind of do whatever you want to go all in on yourself, I don't have a 20-year learning curve that a lot of people need to be considered one of the top coaches in the world, right? And that's my goal. So how do I do that? Well, I shorten the learning curve by getting in rooms with people that don't know who Chris Welton is, or getting on calls with people that have no idea who I am, but I was able to connect with them by sending one Jordan shoe.
What was your 9-to-5? Talk about your experience pre-Chris that we know today.
Yeah. So my most recent job was, I was the chief sales officer for Certified Mortgage Planners, which is a good size, privately held mortgage company here in Florida. And we had about 120 some employees. At the peak of our business, we're doing 700, maybe 800 million a year in volume. And I just got to a point to where I was like, okay, well, 10% of the people want to listen to what Chris has to say and do that, and the other 90% want a paycheck. So it's like, how can I have a bigger impact on people? And then I made that transition to coaching. But I've had a pretty interesting career. I mean, I had a consulting business for car dealers all over the country for a long period of time. I started selling cars at 19, became a sales manager before my 20th birthday, and just realized that the harder I worked and learned, the faster I could move in those areas. And I just take all of that that I've learned along the way. And that's how I've developed my business I'm in now.
So you had mentioned when you and I connected one time, I think it was actually on your podcast, that like late in your 20s is when you've made your first $1 million.
Yeah.
And so I have to imagine like that's, I mean, you know, you're 51 now. So that's, if my math serves me correctly, like 20 plus years ago, like $1 million back then is not the same as $1 million is today. So, I mean, that's a shit ton of money. Excuse my language.
Yes, it was.
And so with that, you know, you're at the time you made that money for someone else, it sounds like, right? Like you're working.
No, well, so when I made, when I first time I had made seven figures, that was my own company. That was all myself. Okay. And, that was me doing events and special events and consulting for car dealers.
Okay.
And, I was traveling all over the country. I was gone 300 nights that year from my home and my family. And, but I was chasing money on a level because I came from a poverty stricken type of family, right? We didn't have any money or anything when I was a kid. So money was the goal. The Mercedes Benz was the goal, right? I remember when I got my first Mercedes, like I always said, oh, I'm going to get a Mercedes, right? So I got a CLK 55 AMG black. I'm just a beautiful car. I put a set of Giovanni wheels on it. I'm like, okay, I made it, right? Like here I am, right? Chris from, you know, like Jenny from the block. I'm Chris from the block rolling around in my Mercedes Benz. And the craziest thing happened is I stopped working hard. As soon as I got the Mercedes, I'm good, right? So yeah, it was a lot of money. And, I lived like a crazy man when I had that much money. I would put $50,000 in cash in my backpack and catch a flight to Vegas on a 2-hour notice. I had a crazy collection of watches. If you open the console of any of my five cars I owned at the time, there was always at least $10,000 or $15,000 in $100 bills just sitting in the console of my cars. Like crazy stuff. Like my goal back then was to be on MTV Cribs. Like that was my goal. It wasn't to save money or invest. It was like, hey, I'm going to be on MTV Cribs.
So how has that evolved as, you know, you got into the corporate world, really high performing in that space, now shifting to this coaching world? From what I've observed from you, it has been less about the money, and because the amount of money I've seen you invest in relationships and things that don't have an immediate return, you have this itch to speak and create impact and to let people hear the voice of Chris Welton. Talk to us about that journey since August.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, you're right. I have invested about 90% of the money I've made back into myself and my business. Because I want to shorten the curve, right? I want to get in front of people right away and tell the story and do the things that I know will bring a massive impact to people. So you're right. For me, it's not been about the money. I've spoken so many times for free. I mean, I've paid for my own airfare and everything to go speak just because I know that I may have that one person, maybe that one connection that's going to change their life. And at some point it'll come back to me. And I stopped chasing money. That was the biggest thing. And I think too many people constantly chase it. And the truth is you stop chasing it and just focus on trying to get better every day. The money will come. Mm-hmm. The money will come.
Yep. Now, a lot of people, when they're first starting out, they have, completely different ways of going about connecting with individuals. And some people get creative. I've yet to find someone that gets as creative as you are. And it, to the point where you've written a book about this thing, a best-selling book at that. Tell us about the One Jordan. Where did that come from? And what is it? Like, this is something that our listeners are going to have to listen to multiple times because this strategy is insane.
I'll do it slowly because I was on a podcast the other day with Renee and he goes, dude, you got to slow down. People aren't catching all of it. Like I know you told the story so many times, but these people, it's the first time they've heard it. So I'll do my best to do that. And if I'm getting ahead of myself, please stop me and slow me down. But so sometime in 2022, I was scrolling through Instagram and Brad Lee was on there. And Brad Lee was talking about, hey, this is a great way to connect with people. Send one Jordan shoe and a note that says, if you want the other shoe, give me a call. And I was like, okay, well, if you're watching this on video, you can see all the Jordans behind me. Obviously, I'm a big Jordan fan. I'm like, man, that's a great idea. I should do that. So I'm like, who do I want to connect with? So the first person I connected with was a guy named Damon West. I just heard him on the podcast that he was on Ed Milet's show. I'm like, I wonder if I can connect with this guy. So I start DMing him. And he responds to me. Now, this is before Damon is where he is now. Like, it's hard to reach Damon now. I can call Damon. We're friends, so it's not a big deal. But like back then, you could reach him, right? He had like 10,000 followers on Instagram. So I just chatted with him. I said, I'm just curious, do you always like to wear Jordan 1s? And he's like, no, I like the 3s really. I said, oh, that's awesome. What size do you wear? He's like, I wear a 10 and a half. So I instantly went on StockX, bought a size 10 and a half Jordan 3s. And then I put a handwritten note in and I said, Damon, please accept this one shoe as a gift for your time for reading this letter. If you'll do a 15-minute Zoom call with me, I will send you the other shoe. So I didn't know if it was going to work. First of all, I thought it might. I packaged it up and sent it out. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to change my circle, right? I wanted to elevate myself by putting myself in a room with people that are on a higher level, right? And we'll get into that in a minute on how that's evolved. But so I sent it out and no response. No response. 6 weeks goes by, no response. I'm like, man, how can you not even like tell me, you know, whatever? So I DM him like, hey man, did you ever get that package? He goes, oh, I barely ever check my PO box. Let me have my wife go do it today. So wife does it, calls him and tells him. Damon calls me. He's like, dude, that's the most creative way I've ever been connected with. Yes, I'll do a Zoom with you. When do you want to do it? I'm like, when do you want to do it? He goes, I can do it right now. I said, okay, let's do it right now. Like I'm not going to send him the Calendly link, right? Oh, look at my calendar. No, dude, when you have someone who's at that you want to connect with, you open your calendar and do whatever they need to do, right? Too many people are like, I'll send you a Calendly link, Landon, and then you let me know. Right, let's put it on the calendar right now. So we did that. He agreed to be on my podcast. The cool thing was about a month and a half later, him and I were sharing a stage in Charleston, South Carolina. I was speaking at an event. He was the keynote of the event. I said, man, I'll just bring the other shoe to you in Charleston. So that's what I did. Gave him the shoe in Charleston. As we're leaving Charleston the next day, there's a hurricane in Florida. We have a 9-hour flight delay. And guess who else's flight's delayed? Damon West. So Damon and I chat at the airport for a while he's waiting to catch a flight to Houston. I'm trying to get back to Orlando. And we just talked a bunch of strategy and how to connect with people and just build different things. And I built this crate. Like, we have a really strong relationship now. Matter of fact, he's speaking at my event that we'll talk about a little bit later. But so then I was challenged, like, okay, who else do I want to connect with and why? That's what people like. Most people are like, oh, I want to connect with these 5 celebrities. Well, why? Why do you want to connect with them? Well, so I got real clear on who those people were. Ben Newman was the second person I connected with. I DM'd his assistant. We've been talking about coaching anyways, not because I could afford it at the time, but because I just wanted to know how much it was. Like, I wanted to know, I'm like, I said, how much is it to be one-on-one coached by Ben? She's, you know, it was a lot. It was like 5 figures a month to one-on-one coach with Ben, right? So I said, I can't afford it, but I want to know when I can afford it, what it's going to take. And I said, hey, by the way, what size shoe does Ben wear? Next day she messaged me. I get the shoe size. I get a pair of shoes. I send him one shoe in the note like I had in the past, hoping that this could be another opportunity to build a relationship. Ben sends me a text message when he gets the shoe with a picture of the note and the shoe and goes, Chris Welton, you have my attention. How about a phone call on December 26th at 11 a.m.? Well, I don't work between Christmas and New Year's. My family was all in town, but I told myself, I'm sorry. I got a call with Ben Newman on the day after Christmas. I would have talked to Ben Newman on Christmas Day, to be honest with you. Like, that's the opportunity that was there. And then we just built this crazy relationship from there. Like, I mean, I would have never met you guys if I hadn't sent a shoe to Ben Newman, right? Like, I mean, think about how that layers of that has evolved. So that's when I decided, let's get super clear on the list. And there's been several people that I've sent shoes to that we've talked, or they've sent the shoe back to me. I had a couple people send the shoe back. Or we had the full blown conversation that aren't my people. They're not. Like, I thought they might be, but they're not. But will you talk about shortening the lesson time on that? Like, I want to talk to this people and you wait for this person for 5 years to try to connect. And when you do, you're like, oh man, are you serious? So I was able to build some really powerful relationships on there. But the biggest thing that happened to me from the book, like the most amazing thing, was when I sent one Jordan to John Maxwell. So in my industry, what I do for a living, John Maxwell is the GOAT. He's the Michael Jordan of the industry. Okay. And if you don't think Michael Jordan's the GOAT, then stop listening now and go do something else. Cause I'm not interested. You even know who I am. But so John Maxwell calls me and he leaves me a voicemail because I didn't answer the phone because it was a number from West Palm, Florida. And I'm like, someone's trying to sell me a warranty or a timeshare or something. Right. And he says, Chris, John Maxwell, where's the other shoe? Dude, what? I mean, I was in the bedroom and I just got done working out and I come running out to my wife. I'm like, babe, you're not going to believe this. John Maxwell just called me, Chris Welton called me, right? The son of a drug addict. I was like, look, guys like me don't get an opportunity to meet John Maxwell on that level, right? I have John Maxwell's number. So I called John Maxwell back. A total fanboy, blew it. Like, didn't have my questions ready to go. I was just like, John Maxwell, yeah. So I sent him the other shoe in the book. He reads the book. And the next day, I start getting messages from people saying, hey, I'm at this event. John Maxwell's on stage. He's doing this thing called Getting Out of the People Pile. And he's talking about this guy, Chris Welton, who sent him one Jordan shoe. John Maxwell's talking about me, dude. Talk about me on stage to everybody that'll listen. So a few weeks after that, I go meet John in person in Nashville, Tennessee. And when I walk up and introduce myself to him, the first thing he does is stop everybody in the room and tell the story. Then he gets his phone out of his pocket, John Maxwell's phone, gives it to his assistant and wants a picture of me with him. Like, if I don't sell another copy of my book, I'm great. Like that was it for me. Mm-hmm. But I share that with you because if I hadn't taken the chance or the shot to do the book, and there was plenty of times where I quit on the book because I was afraid it wasn't going to work, I would have never had a chance to meet John Maxwell and have a relationship with him. I wouldn't be on the phone or on the Zoom right now, the podcast with Landon and Antonio, and Antonio and Landon wouldn't have been able to affect my number of friends and clients that they have in a positive way. Like, that would have never happened, right? We'd have never met each other. So the book is super powerful to help people teach people that story to connect. You don't have to one Jordan. You can do anything else. Like, there's so many different strategies or ways to do it. But I wrote the book because I want more people to take advantage of that and go after it. Sorry for being long-winded there, man, but you get me talking about something I enjoy. It's over. It's done.
I mean, yeah, I feel the passion in your voice, and it's an awesome story because part of those stories are something that, like, even you and I as friends, I haven't heard yet. So we're talking about the book. Now, from a tactical standpoint around how you're building these relationships, how do you go about strategically knowing who you want to send? Like, is there like an internal CRM that you have going on? This is where my sales brain comes in. Yeah. Like, how are you keeping track of this stuff? And then on the back end of that, how important is it for our listeners here, a lot of young people that could be inspired right now, you know, like, hey, I got to find a creative way to connect, to make sure you're valuable and have something to actually bring to the table when you do connect with these people, because it's going to work. So two-part question there.
Well, my internal CRM is a whiteboard that's over here. You can't see right now on the camera. And on the whiteboard right now is Dana White, Pat McAfee, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, Grant Cardone, and David Poitner. So they're on my board right now. The shoes behind me are Ryan Pineda's, Trent Shelton, and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. So there's my CRM. And the list grows all the time. It's people that I see doing something that I would like to learn to do or have an impact or just have a conversation with to see if they are who they say they are. And if they are, then I'm going to figure out a way that I can bring value to them. Right. It's really hard to bring value to people that are on a super high level. I mean, it is like what can I bring to them? So I really think that through before each call I get on with these, with individuals. And I tell them about my story because my story is super impactful. I believe that I'm where I'm at. I should be in prison. Like, I literally had one of my aunts say, hey, Chris, if you would have gone to prison, we'd have been like, we got it. Like, we understand. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because the way you're raised. So I share that story with most of them and they're like, dude, this is somebody I want to know. Like, this is somebody that is different. This isn't someone who's trying to get famous from me. Right. And I think too many of the people are doing like, if I meet this guy, then he'll blow up my social media and I'm going to be, no, I want to know them as the person they are and how they decided to make the business decisions and how they got through the stuff along the way. Like my summit's called Strength Through Adversity, You're Not Alone. I have some amazing, amazing speakers on that group. Like 7-time Mr. Olympia, Flex Lewis is there. LaShawn Merritt, he won the gold medal twice in the 400 meters, the hardest race in the Olympics. And Amberly Lago and Brian Covey and Ben Newman and Renee Rodriguez and David Meltzer. I mean, I could go on and on the list. But all of these relationships were built because I sent one Jordan to somebody and got in a room with somebody else. And then became friends with them on a friend level. Not like I wanted something, not I wanted them to sign something or pay for me. Like that was never the case. And I think that that's the important thing. It's you can't ask this. You can't have the same conversation with everybody you introduce through in this tactic or network or whatever you do. The people that are successful, they're ones that can adapt and pivot in every conversation and relationship, right? When I got into sales at a young age, I was told to be a chameleon, right? Be able to adapt to the people we're talking to. And look, these are people. They're all people too, man. They all started somewhere. And the ones that are like, this is really cool. You did this or how we connected. Those are the ones you want to know because they want to help lift other people up.
Yep.
What does the copy look like when you customize the letters to the individual? Then what does the flow of conversation typically look like on the call?
Oh, once we get on the call?
So conversation, yeah. Like what's your typical flow in those conversations? And then also like, you know, for some of these bigger names you just mentioned that they probably get a lot of free stuff sent to them. Like what are you doing in the maybe the letter copy and the differentiation yourself?
I mean, I come from a place of being complimentary in the letters, you know, depending on who they are. Like, you know, Clinton Sparks. I have one Jordan Clinton Sparks, right? And I sent him the shoe and I just said, hey, man, I appreciate the way you told your story at AmpCon. And I felt so much value from you that I think I wanted to connect with you on a different level. You know, and that's how it went with him. And I got Clinton on the phone and we just started talking. It was supposed to be 15 minutes. It went 45 minutes. I literally turned the Zoom into a podcast because it went so long. And Clinton's a guy who comes from a place of a lot like David Meltzer. He's in that same circle, right? Like he wants to help people. He wants to be gracious to individuals. So that conversation is an easy flow. But all the letters are different. I mean, just like some of them, it's like, hey, if you just do a 15-minute call with me, I'll send you the other shoe. But what I realized was, is that don't be afraid to ask to do a bigger call. Like I asked John Maxwell to be in my summit. Like, I mean, why wouldn't I, right? He said he didn't have the time, could do it, which I totally respect that. But why wouldn't I, right? Why wouldn't I ask that? So, you know, look, I'm assuming that most people on here have a sales background that are listening or whatever, and they understand how to adapt and pivot in conversations. Be clear about where you want to go with it and why you want to connect with this person. But don't be surprised if they're not the person that they appear to be on social media or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And I think what the most important part of it is like people understand intention, like you had mentioned, right? Like these higher level people, they're still people. When we say higher level, like we have 3 high level dudes on this podcast right now. And these are just people that are just, maybe they have more business success. They've just been doing it longer. They've made a larger impact when it comes to, you know, scale on that side. Now with that, like they still feel and understand intention behind it. Like they can feel the energy from how you're writing that note and how thoughtful you're putting in. So that's what one thing that I would caution people is like, if you're going to do this, because it's an incredible strategy, understand that you need to be doing it for the right reasons because, excuse me, people's bullshit meters are at an all-time high right now. Shifting gears a little bit, you had mentioned the summit. Talk to us about the summit. You know, this is awesome play that I love that you're creating here. If I'm not mistaken, it's a free summit with just like some of the world's best speakers on here. Walk us through kind of like why you created this summit and what is it? When is it? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So it's the Strength Through Adversity Summit. You're not alone. My wife, Nikki, and I decided to create this event to honor our son, CJ, that passed away in 2020. And I thought, what better way to do that than have a free event, low barrier of entry. You just have to log in. Everything's pre-recorded, but we're going to have 20 speakers over 4 days. five speakers a day. No one's going to speak for longer than 10 or 15 minutes. It's not going to take up your whole day. But these are all individuals who overcome some type of massive adversity in their life and found strength from it. I'll be speaking a couple days. One of the days I'll be talking about how fathers overcome infant loss, right? Because I think there's a lot of focus on the moms. And there's a lot of things that happen with the moms. One of our main speakers is a woman named Noelle Moore, who created a not-for-profit called the Finley Project. Her daughter Finley passed away when she was a newborn. So she created this, and she was there to help my wife when my wife went through our loss of CJ. So that was the reason behind the event. And then I thought, if I can get some people that are major players and major impactful people that have a massive following, and they could introduce others to everybody else in this group, what kind of impact would that be? And for me, it was worth the investment. It was worth the investment of the time. I have no idea if one person will watch it or 100,000. I have no idea. But to honor my son at a level like that means a lot to my wife and I.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Wow. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of gravity in that story, man. When it comes to professionally, I know you do a lot of one-on-one coaching. I have had the privilege, and Landon and I have both had the privilege and honor to work with a lot of your clients, and they are amazing, amazing people. And we take it very seriously. You're launching a group model currently, going through all that. We had talked about it on the phone, I think yesterday or so. Tell us more about it.
Yeah. So it's been one of those things where you can only coach so many people one-on-one. Like there's only so many hours in the day, and just because I only coach for 10 hours a week doesn't mean that's all I do to get ready for the calls. Right. Like I mean, it's another 20 or 30 hours you have to put in to be ready to be on the level you need to be, to bring value to your clients. It's a high ticket item. One-on-one coaching is not cheap. So you have to be that high ticket individual to do it. Then I thought, okay, well, how can I get in front of more people and help people that want to be helped for a smaller investment? So I created the Time Is Now community. And it's a group coaching community, and it's going to run inside the school app. Not only will you be on there for two live calls a month for myself, along with 15 minutes of Q&A after each call, you also are in a community with everybody that I coach. So all of my one-on-one clients are already in this community. We're building it out right now. And these are some super high-level people. Like, I mean, some really high-level individuals that you can question or talk to anytime. Like, they're going to be part of this community. So that rolls out May 9th. I'll have a special deal for anybody that listens to this podcast. They can, we'll figure out what we want to do. I'll set the link up. I'll get with you guys on what to do. We'll put it in the show notes. Or you can always just email me at chris@chriswelton.live and tell them you heard this on the podcast, and I can get you a free link. But we'll get you on there for the first 30 days for free to see if it's something that brings value to you. I know it'll bring incredible value to the people that are looking for it.
How does Chris keep the sword sharp? And like, what are some things you're talking through with your clients in your community right now? Talk through just kind of your personal development journey and how you're transferring that growth to the clients in your community.
Yeah. So for me, it's education. Like every day I read, I listen to podcasts. If you get in my car, there's just podcasts on. Usually that's what I'm listening to try to learn from others. And I'm coached by a guy named Adam Roach. He's been my personal coach for about 3 years now. And I'm also coached by, you guys know the guy, Ben Newman, right? So, I learned from them, and I think that's where there's a big gap in my space, at least the side I'm in, is that you have all these people that claim they're coaches or want to be a coach, and they're not even coached. Like, if someone wanted to coach me, the first thing I'd say was, okay, well, who coaches you? Like, So I keep the sword sharpened by that. And, you know, I don't get on my calls and come there to preach to my clients, right? I ask questions, figure out where they're at. We have a system. My assistant gets in touch with them 48 hours before the call to see if there's anything additional they want to cover besides what we had on the agenda. And we go to work. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's selfish being a coach, to be honest with you, for me, because I get so much out of it, man. Like they pay me to help them solve their problems. And in turn, I learn. Like, it's like the craziest thing ever. And, but it's so fulfilling. You know, it's just like, when I have a great day of coaching, it's better than any day I ever had running a company. I don't care how much money I made in one day. When I have five clients in one day and we just crush all five calls, oh my gosh, dude, I'm on such a natural high. I just, you can't even explain it.
Couldn't agree more. It's the call specifically, we're in the coaching consulting world, and a lot of it's like, you know, tactical stuff, but there's never been more excitement from a call, you know, selfishly when I talk about it than like, you know, we'll be able to save you money on taxes and help you grow your money, all that type of stuff. But when somebody's getting tangible value about a couple action items that you're helping them make in their life, or, you know, giving them some advice on a book or how to schedule their day or some little tactical piece that is going to really help their life and their family. It's so energizing, man. So energizing to the point you had just said. And I think it segues into our last question here as we wrap up. You know, this podcast is called the Consistency Wins Podcast. And so part of coaching and part of your methodology, I'm assuming consistency is a huge part of your life and how it shows up in you and your clients' world. What does that word mean to you? And how important is it in your everyday life?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because that's something else I wanted to cover and we didn't talk about it already. But so I have this thing I call the undefeated morning. And there's like six things that I do every morning before I check my phone or email. Okay. And it, you don't have to do these things, but you do have to have some kind of routine, in my opinion, that you're undefeated before you check your email and your social media. If I'm 6-0, when I check my phone, like I didn't even check my email today until about 9:45 for the first time, or any social media. And I've been up since 5 a.m. Didn't touch it. I went through the morning routine and I did the things that I wanted to do first before I let someone else take control of my day. If I'm 6-0, Antonio, and I look and I have a client that wants to cancel, I get one of those emails. Doesn't affect me that bit much. I figure out the strategy to what I need to do to help them overcome that or whatever. We work through it, but throw the L's at me then. I'm okay with it because I'm 6-0. Like, I'm going to be 6-1 at some point during the day, or 8-1 or whatever that is. But I bet you I won't be 6-5, 6-7, 6-8. I bet you I won't be. Right? Because I get just such massive momentum from winning early. So the consistency for me is that. Getting out of bed, I start my day with gratitude, things I'm grateful for, the little things, the roof over my head, just anything that I can think of that I'm grateful for. I'm one of those weirdos who likes to get in the cold plunge for 45 degrees for 6 minutes. That's my thing. You don't have to do that. I'm not telling you to go buy a cold plunge, but do something hard or difficult, right? And I do a breathing exercises I do every morning, and I read and I journal and I work out. And those are the things I do for me first. And that's the consistency, man. And when I'm off track, I'm not getting those things done. I'm traveling too much. I start taking losses throughout the day. So that's my thing, man, the undefeated morning. And I go after it.
Love it. Find small wins. How can our listeners follow you and connect with you? I know you mentioned your email. How can they buy the book? Yeah. Follow the group coaching and the summit.
Yep. So the summit, is the STASummit.com. And I'll get you guys a link for that, or you can just take that from what it was, but it's the STASummit.com. And one hand at a time is the best way to follow me on social media. That's my Instagram handle. And I'm on there a lot. I do respond to people when they DM me. It's not my assistant responding back, and you're not going to get put into some crazy sales funnel. That's not how I run my Instagram. And to buy the book, the best way is to go on Amazon. If you want to buy one of the limited edition hard copy autographed versions, you can do that through my website. It's a little bit more expensive. And the main reason why is because I have to pay for the shipping, which is crazy expensive to ship one of those heavier books. Like, I can't believe it's like almost $10 just to ship the book. It's like, I don't make any more money on it. It's literally the shipping cost to ship it. So, I mean, I shipped one to John Girondo, who literally lives like two zip codes from me, and it cost me $875. I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. So, but you can do that either way. And, if you decide you want to buy a bunch of the books and you get on Amazon, you say, hey, I'm going to buy 25 copies or more. Let me know. Send me you did that. And I'm happy to get on a 30-minute call with your team and unpack the book for free.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah. Well, Chris, you have been a light in our lives, man. So blessed that we connected, and could not be more grateful to continue following your journey and being a part of it, man, supporting you. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course, man. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I appreciate you.